Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Nation Billing, where we are presenting divorce before, during, and after. Mr. Gidget, your host, Mr. Gidget, what's up?
I told him, alaikum, DJ Black Caesar. How are you this evening?
Alaikum salam, sister. I'm doing fair. I'm doing fair.
All praises due to Allah for that, and it's good to hear your voice. I want to go ahead and start because we're going to cover a lot of information tonight as best as possible. So we're going to go ahead and get started. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is their divine reminder in our midst, and I greet my listening audience as well as my distinguished panel and, of course, my engineer, DJ Black Caesar, and I greet in words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. We are embarking on this journey of divorce. Let me put a disclaimer out there, just in case. We are not encouraging divorce. However, we know that reality sometimes makes divorce inevitable. And so we are trying to talk about those things as well as the signs that lead to divorce, what we can possibly do to prevent divorce. But most of all, when it is proven to be inevitable that it's going to happen, we need to know how to handle that effectively. And so I want to introduce my distinguished panel to you tonight, and I want to let everyone know that this topic in itself is the brainchild of our beloved brother. He goes by the name of Brother W on Facebook, but his name is Brother Walter Muhammad. So I'm going to ask him to come down front and center, soldier, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Walter Muhammad, also known on Facebook as Brother W. Muhammad. Thank you, Sister Gidget, and the Nation Building family for providing us with the opportunity to be able to speak on this tonight. We pray Allah that He guides our words and hopefully create solutions to help us all and those of us who have been affected by such a touching topic. And I just wanted to start off with announcing myself as I've been a brother who's been in the Nation for the past 15 years or so, and I've been blessed to, you know, have some experiences in this particular area of life, even though some of us may not deem it as a blessing, but I like to see it as anything that Allah pulls you through with difficulty is an opportunity to help someone else who may struggle with the same thing, and in that helping is a healing. So, again, I thank you, Sister Gidget, and the Nation Builder family for allowing me to take part in this, and may Allah bless us all. Thank you.
Yes, sir, and thank you, Brother Walter, for, of course, the birth of this topic, and we're going to take it as far as we can take it. And also joining us tonight is the wife of Brother Walter, Sister Cinqueta Muhammad, better known as Sister C. Muhammad on Facebook. So come down front and center, sister, and introduce yourself and tell us something about yourself besides the fact that you are Brother Walter's wife.
Assalamu alaikum and good evening to all that's listening. And as you know, you just said that I am definitely his wife. And it's a pleasure to be on the panel tonight, and I hope I could give some words of encouragement, inspiration, and I just hope that everyone that's listening just sit back and really understand how important this topic is. I've been in the Nation for about 20 years now, and I've also have gone through, you know, divorce myself. So, you know, hopefully I'll be able to, you know, give some insight on the topic.
Yes, ma'am. All praises due to Allah. And we also have with us our dear brother, Hakeem Shakir Muhammad out of Chicago. Come down front and center, soldier. Introduce yourself. And I also, would you please elaborate on what you're going to offer us tonight, Brother Hakeem?
Assalamu alaikum. Again, my name is Brother Hakeem Shakir Muhammad out of Chicago, Illinois. I've been in the Nation since 1993, which is about 20 years. I am, inshallah, this year, July 4th, I would have been married, my wife and I would have been married for 17 years. Divorce is not something that I have experienced, and I thank Allah for that. However, I did grow up in a household of a blended family, so there are some experiences and some feelings behind that experience that I can identify with. But again, when you strip away the circumstances, the feelings are the same. So a lot of those things that we encounter or that have been encountered with divorce, I think when you strip away those circumstances, those of us who may not have experienced divorce, but we certainly can identify. And there's a aspect mentally that we have to take a look at. And so I'm a professional in the mental health field, and I have dealt with a lot of issues, cases where divorce was a main component And so just from the ear, from an ear perspective, I like to say, in other words, just from listening to a lot of situations that have taken place with divorce, I've been able to entertain a whole lot of issues that come with that. So what I'm offering, I guess, would be, like Sister Gidget said, and she kind of put me on the spot with that, but what I would offer is some coping mechanisms with dealing with these feelings. And I'm going to be quiet after this, but for those of us who have not dealt with divorce, there's a whole lot that we can get out of this. I certainly will, because I pray that I never will have to say that I had that experience. So, you know, I'm sure that there's a lot that we can get out of that, especially in a preventive area of prevention.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Hakeem. And I also have with us tonight my dear beloved sister, Sister Patricia Muhammad out of Ohio. Assalamu alaikum, Queen.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Okay, well, come down front and center, soldier, and tell us something about yourself.
Okay, well, I have been in the nation for 4 years, and I was married 28 years, and I am divorced.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. We're getting some background noise, so please let me remind you that if you have background noise, please put your phones on mute. If you have your computers on, please turn them down because we do get the feedback. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead and proceed, Sister Patricia.
Well, that was about it. I've been in the nation for 22 years, and I was married for 28 years, and I am divorced.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And also joining us is my silent partner. I call him my silent partner, but my co-host, Brother Derek Singleton out of Louisiana. Assalamu alaikum, soldier. Come down front and chill and say a few words to the panel and to the listening audience, please.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm Brother Derek. Glad to be back after a little short absence. And another interesting topic we're going to get into. Since divorce is just as common as marriage, I'm interested to get the panel's perspective on the reasons for divorce and how can we prevent it so we can have successful marriages. I'm just ready to get it. Let's get started.
Yes, sir. Thank you for coming back, Brother Derek. We missed you, and we pray that your mother is doing better. So we have had her in our prayer. So welcome back, brother.
Yes,
all right, we're going to get started. As usual, of course, I did some statistics on this issue. And as it relates to Black Americans in particularly, as of 2012, it has been discovered that 70% of Black marriages end in divorce. That's the first marriage. And I don't know where they get this statistic from, but they say 47% of Black women are divorcing in America only. So I want to talk to Brother Walter, because, of course, this is your brainchild. So when you hear statistics of that multitude, 70% of our first marriages fail, how do you feel about that? And give us a brief synopsis on what you yourself has been through.
Well, of course, when you hear the number 70%, it just makes me reflect on 70% dissatisfied, which brings about a change. And unfortunately, living in the confines of North America and the culture in which we grow up in Western civilization, it kind of reminds me that when we think of the number 70%, that we need to make a change. And that's what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has us on, is the time and what must be done so that we can change our ways and come into the oneness of Allah, which would in enable us to be successful in all areas of life, whether it's personally, whether it's family, marriage, child raising and all. But just to, you know, keep it pretty basic to what you asked, my particular experience, when you say the first time marriage, it may be similar to those who may be in the panel as well as the listener audience, where I was a brother who, you know, I was a product of divorced parents. And, you know, sometimes through, you know, seeing, you know, divorced parents, as you grow up, you try to hope that you can, you know, capitalize on or correct what wasn't correct in your own family life, and you strive for a family. So as a young man, you know, coming into the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and trying to live a civilized lifestyle as we're taught to live, you know, I did marry young, and, you know, I thought that, you know, my what we call a childhood sweetheart or high school sweetheart was the one to marry and grow and go upon the journey with. And, you know, as you get, I guess, through the different challenges of life and sometimes the trials and tribulations of, you know, life, we don't always have the guidance sometimes on a more intimate basis. I mean, we read the Holy Quran, we read, you know, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but sometimes that guidance of knowing what to do and what to say in certain situations and communicating effectively, we don't always, you know, experience that right away, and it takes trial and tribulation. But sometimes when we're not patient with ourselves in the process of marriage, you know, we go through different things that sometimes, instead of bringing us closer, it erodes us. So in my particular situation, as time went on through the marriage, we began to have breakdowns in communication and being able to communicate effectively with one another. And that was the first form of erosion in the marriage, the inability to communicate and communicate effectively. And once that started going, then, you know, other lapses in, you know, the marriage started to happen. The inability to center ourselves with God, Allah. So we had the teachings, but we're not centered. You know what I mean? It's like having a painting and it's beautiful, but if you can't properly hang it on the wall, it almost looks like it's not centered. So when we can't come together in that way, then that's the second form of erosion. And then not having, you know, some of us having the pride that we have in our relationships, we become embarrassed to talk about it with people who may have more experience because we fear we may be judged or looked at as that we're not handling our affairs in an adult way or correctly. So the shame of, you know, getting help sometimes when, you know, you see that the, you know, car is sliding off the road or veering off the road, but we continue driving, you know, until we wind up in a ditch, you know, and then it's like, oh, let's get the help. But at that time, you're remembering all the things that may have happened, you know, to get you in a ditch. And then it's like, well, I don't want help now, you know, and it just goes on. So that's just a brief synopsis of, you know, what I experienced as a young man in the marriage, coming in at 19 and ending in divorce by the age of 30. So it's something that, you know, I had to study and to grow from to understand. So that's pretty much it for me.
Okay. All right. And Sister Cinquetta, when you hear those numbers, and especially 47% of black women's marriages end in divorce, the first marriage, what comes to mind for you?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me is not just the husband or the wife. I think about the whole family, if there is one, you know, the children, everybody who's involved. And, you know, it's the number, when I hear that, the 47%, is really hurtful because that's a lot of marriages, you know, that, you know, not working out. And it's just really a sad day for us, you know. But I think that, you know, one of the reasons why so many marriages end in divorce, especially the first one, is because, it's for a few reasons, actually. One reason is because I believe we don't properly have the right expectation of what a marriage really can be or what a marriage is. I think that a lot of times, a lot of us coming from a divorced family like I was, have a good example in front of us. A good example in front of us can go by, a good model. So I believe that's a few reasons why we suffer the way we do in our marriages.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. And Sister Patricia?
Yes, ma'am.
So what do you think about those statistics? 70% of our marriages end in divorce, and 47% of a black woman's first marriage ends in divorce.
Well, those numbers are devastating to me. That's not good at all. My experience, I married very young at the age of 19 as well, and I knew and I know that no one is perfect, and I was actually the first person in my family to ever get a divorce. Matter of fact, I think I'm the only person in my family to get a divorce, and it was extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. It took me years, I mean years, to decide, because I never wanted to get a divorce, never wanted to get a divorce. But situations and circumstances, I mean, I went through so much infidelity, drug abuse, so many different things, and I was there. I stayed. And I tried and I worked and I worked and I worked as best I could until I felt that I would die if I stayed in that marriage. And so that's why I got divorced. So the numbers are really, really horrendous, because I never would have thought that I would get divorced.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I want to remind the audience that if you have a question, please press 1 on your dial pad. And if those of you who are in the chat rooms, a lot of you in the chat room tonight, if you have a question, please type it in, and I will ask it on your behalf. Okay, and I want to go to Brother Hakeem. And Brother Hakeem, I'm going to ask you a different question. What do you think is the reason that a lot of the first marriages fail? Because that's what the statistics show, that 70% of black marriages fail, the first one.
I think a lot of that comes from disappointment. And believe me, I'm speculating, because like I said, I have not experienced it yet, though that has been considered, you know, in my marriage, in my relationship. We just did not choose that route. We decided to go another route, and by Allah's grace, it got better. But I think a lot of times, it may not be across the board, but I'm almost sure in most cases, And my panelists, my fellow panelists can correct me if I'm wrong, but the expectations that are the expectations are not met, and then there's a level of disappointment. For those of us who are not necessarily in the nation, there may be a different, I'm pretty sure there's a different belief system in terms of premarital relations and things like that. I know for a fact, the courting process that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us set the tone for my relationship in my marriage with my wife and I, and it gave us a foundation that was necessary with all the different challenges and things that we've been through. So I think a lot of that is in the beginning stages of the marriage, where the person is at spiritually or emotionally, what their expectations are. You know, are they set too high? Are they set too low? And again, I'm looking at it just from the outside looking in. Basically, I know when I decided to get married, and I got married at 24. I was young in the nation. I'd been in the nation about 4 years. I come from that. I'm a product of divorce. As a matter of fact, I don't even remember my mother and father being married. I was too young. I don't even remember that. I always have remembered them apart. But my father did get married again, and he's been married going on 30 years. My mother did get married again. So I was given a whole lot of examples of what not to do. I had a lot of help. My wife and I had a lot of assistance, even when we didn't know that's what we were getting. But we had a lot of assistance over a period of time. So the challenges that we faced, we had live human beings who had either made the mistakes that we were about to make or had been through the challenges that we had been through. And so we had a strong support system. And that's why we are, I like to say, that's one of the reasons why we are still married today.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Did I answer the question?
Yes, sir, you did. You did. Okay. So I want to go back to Brother Walter, because Brother Walter, of course, this is your baby. And I want to ask you, because you specifically asked, well, not asked, but we conversated about the inadequacies that we feel when we are going through divorce, and particularly in the mosque, in the Nation of Islam. Now, I know that divorce touches all religions, all faiths, all cultures, but in the Nation of Islam, and particularly, I remember you specifically saying that, you know, you just didn't feel that, you know, you could go to anybody or there was anyone that could help. And so I just wanted to know, what do you feel that we as a nation can do better to either prevent or assist when this situation occurs?
Yes, ma'am. And thank you, Sister Gidget, for putting me on the spot continuously by saying this is my baby. I feel
yeah,
like I'm
yours.
Pissing on the question, but all praises are due to Allah. To answer your question, ma'am, in my particular experience, and I just wanted to, you know, make it clear for those who are listening as well as those who are on the panel, that, you know, I don't want them to think that I felt like the Nation of Islam was. I mean, I know we did have that conversation, but I just wanted to be clear. My particular culture or area in the mosque or the nation, coming up as a younger FOI in Philadelphia, because, you know, I don't want it to put it out there like the whole nation is this way or that way. Well, I don't want the perception to seem like it's coming from me in that regard. But I just wanted to say, in my particular experience, the culture in my mosque at that particular time, I, as a younger brother, and that could have partially been to just the ego and the macho attitude of how I seen the FOI and what a FOI was supposed to be, I didn't feel comfortable going to any and everyone because, you know, we have a certain culture sometimes in the FOI that, you know, we're men and we should be able to meet and overcome all obstacles in our path, which is our teaching and training. But sometimes we don't know how to add balance to that. And when we're facing such an obstacle of a tremendous capacity, we don't know how, or in my particular case, I didn't know how to go about asking brothers for particular guidance and help in this area, because it was just a culture that felt like you had to have this under control. So as a result of that, Sister Gidget, we talked about in our private talk about suffering in silence. And a lot of times, you know, you feel like you have to go through the suffering, but you feel the shame and embarrassment of talking to your brother sometimes because you don't want to be labeled or judged that, you know, Fruit can't handle his affairs. And, you know, that was pretty much how, you know, I approached, you know, the situation in the beginning. So, you know, as we grow and learn from a situation or situations in our lives that are, you know, to this magnitude, I always felt like, you know, if I ever got the opportunity as a brother, not so much as an officer or as, you know, an official in the mosque, but as a brother, to be able to be there as, in a level of support for the brothers because who go through this. And, you know, I would hope that the sisterhood would do the same. But, you know, particularly speaking of the brothers, you know, because that's my particular class, you know, to create a shame-free environment where, as men, we could talk about these things, not to be all in your affairs or all in your business, but to provide you with a level of support because there's so many levels of, you know, so many levels of I'm looking for a word, forgive me, so many levels of suffering that sometimes we go through when it comes to divorce and so many levels of trying to repair that, you know, you can find yourself slipping into some very deep, dark corners of your life, you know, and when you don't feel you have that support system there, you know, you may have one foot in the mosque, but then you have another foot in the world. And then eventually, you know, the pressures of the world will, you know, snatch you right out, you know, and you could continue to walk in the mosque, but just be consumed by the world. So those were some of the things I felt as I was, you know, learning this process that, you know, we could be a little bit more creative and some continued support for the believer, you know, just as I see some of the churches do and, you know, some of their ministries, you know, that with the high rate in the nation of divorce, maybe, you know, we could look at in some of our study groups and mosques, those of us who have been through this, a ministry of, you know, divorce and just how to handle that, you know, and that was just one of the thoughts that, you know, I had and continue to have.
Yes, sir. Okay, and Sister Cinquetta, so you have been once divorced prior to your marriage to Brother Walter, so I don't know if you were in or out of the nation, but was it, you know, difficult for you to seek help in your marriage, or how did you handle that process prior to divorce?
Yes, ma'am. I was in the nation when I was going through my separation and divorce. I found that I had a lot of support. You know, the sisters that I was close to at the time, they were definitely there for me, you know, for if I needed them just to talk to cry with, to, you know, go out and do something that we enjoyed together. They, you know, they really, really, really showed me that they were there for me, and, you know, they were definitely my sisters. But what I think I shouldn't have done, I was so upset. I really didn't handle it as well as I guess I should have. I was talking to every sister I saw almost about it, you know, because I was just that hurt and upset. And, you know, I also was embarrassed. You know, I'm MDT. What do you mean my marriage is not working? What do you mean we're about to break up? What do you mean, you know, like, this is supposed to work. And, I felt also a sense of embarrassment because my marriage was failing. And then you see, you know, other sisters and brothers, and it seemed like they were able to work out their differences. So I really couldn't figure out what was it where I couldn't make my marriage work. So that was my own experience.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, and Sister Patricia?
Yes, ma'am. I'm trying to get you off mute. I believe that the believers, well, when I was going through my divorce, I was in the mosque. My husband was not. And so it may have been a little easier for me from what I have seen in the past where other believers have gone through divorce. And if I'm not mistaken, the believers are supposed to be excused from the mosque if both parties are in the mosque while the divorce is going on, so that they won't, believers won't take sides, because that would really affect the couple as well as the believer. I received a lot of support from my student minister and my sisters in D.C., even though there were times when the sisters would feel sorry for my ex-husband or ex-husband-to-be, which was a little disconcerting for me. So I guess we should ask that no one judge us, because they don't know what we had gone through, you know, in the process of being married and also the process of getting divorced, because it's not an easy thing. So I would ask that the believers just be a little less judgmental and more supportive of the believers.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay. And also, I'm going to give my co-host, Brother Derek, an opportunity to ask a question. Brother Derek, you have a question for the panel?
Yes, ma'am. My question is, and you know, from anybody on the panel, what do you think is the root of divorce? What causes, what leads up to divorce? Because I think that's where the main problem is. We can kind of start to see where those seeds are coming in, that there's some things we can try to avoid. So what is the root of divorce, or what are the things that leads up to divorce that people may overlook constantly? And that's why we have such a high rate of divorce.
I was trying to give one of the sisters the opportunity, it's Brother Walter. I was trying to give one of the sisters the opportunity to answer that. I mean, I have an idea of some things, but I mean, I know it's an interesting thing to hear it from a sister. So, I mean, if any sister wants to feel free.
And I know also that a lot of everybody have a different opinion, so not to be no specific answer, but I know maybe the audience want to know.
Okay, well, come on, Sister Cinquetta.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think one of the problems is that we forget about the commitment, you know, that we've made to one another. And not just to one another, but also to Allah. You know, we forget. That's one of the, I think, problems. And I think another problem is that we don't keep Allah as our center. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And when Allah is not the center of your life and the head of your household, it's so easy for certain things to come in between a relationship that can cause a lot of problems and harm, and ultimately, you know, the end of a marriage.
Okay. All right. Is Sister Patricia?
Yes, ma'am. The question was, what is the root of divorce?
Yes, ma'am. Some of the things that, I mean, it could be several different things, but there's some things that lead up to divorce.
Well, I would say the biggest thing for me in my experience would be a breakdown in communication. And trust. And, you know, I never want to displease Allah. And I know that Allah hates divorce. But it was necessary for my divorce. So I don't know what else to say as far as what's the root of it.
Well, can I say this, Mr. Gidget? A lot of people say communication, but what are we not communicating with?
Right.
And, you know, people just quickly throw that out. Oh, we didn't communicate. Well, what were you not communicating? I'm not saying to you, but I'm just saying to people in general. You know, people love to throw that out there and just leave it at that. So what would be some of the communication issues that we, you know, obviously not seeming to get with one another as we in the marriage, or while we in the marriage?
Well, I could say, you know, one person may be communicating and the other person may just shut down and refuse to communicate. So communication can't be established. Not that it was that way for the entire marriage, but, you know, at a certain point, you know, what do you do?
Okay. I think one of the major, one of the things that happens is denial. Denial sets in. And denial is the mother, and it produces a lot of babies. I mean, you have blaming, you have minimizing, you have rationalizing, you have all these offspring from denial. What am I talking about? A firm believer in a relationship between two people, and no matter what is taking place, there's always two sides of the street. Now, sometimes I know, through, like the sister just expressed, the abuse. You know, these are grounds for divorce. I mean, the violation of the vows and things like that. So there's no denying that. You know, if that happens and a person says, hey, look, you know, I can't go any further. So says she tried. But there's always two sides. And so I think when the two parties, the Holy Quran says separation in some cases is good. So when that, before divorce, as a matter of fact, now I'm speaking from experience, prior to divorce being the alternative, we had to separate. That was an alternative rather than just get a divorce. Let's separate. We cannot seem to find a way between each other. Let's separate. During that time of the separation, it was for me to look at me and for her to look at her, even though I may have been the cause of the separation, or she may have been, it still was for me to look at myself and for her to look at her. And the support systems that I had, I'm talking about Brother W talked about brothers. And I'm talking about brothers that literally, when I say support, I mean they held me up, literally, and constantly kept me focused on the part that I played in this, because that was the only thing that I could change, was the part that I played in it. I can't change my wife. I mean, I haven't tried. It's been 17 years going on, and I haven't tried some stuff, and it didn't work. So I've learned to accept her for who she is. See, and that was one of the problems in the beginning, and I denied the fact that I accepted this woman for who she was, not for who I wanted her to be. And so that was my denial, which I came to realization was one of the problems. My expectations were not being met. My expectations were not being met. But who am I? I mean, was Allah pleased with her? I never considered that. I didn't look at it that way, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is the individual has to take a look at self. And I'm not saying that this is a solution across the board. I don't really know. I just know so far it has worked for my relationship, because once I was able to take a good look at me, I found out I wasn't doing all as great as I thought I was, but I also wasn't as bad as I thought I was neither. And she came to that same conclusion. And we were able to reunite and somewhat start off with a clean slate, if you will. And I just want to say one more thing. Within the nation, I think one of the issues, the problems that we have when we have believers that are going through something like this, which the minister has called a threat to our national security, so this is serious. And when we have believers that are going through something like this, it's somewhat of a culture when a believer is going through something that we kind of, you know, have this thought process that maybe they're not doing something right, or maybe they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and that's why they're going through it. And so I don't really believe that there's a believer that not desire to help. I really believe it's a lot of times we really don't know how to help each other, and that's why we don't get an extended hand. Because there were many opportunities for individuals to extend their hands to me, and my wife, but we didn't get them. But the ones that we did get were the ones that we were supposed to get, because those were the ones that were very, very helpful. They were not judgmental. They were very honest. There's a brother, I'm not even going to mention his name, but he would get brutally honest with me, you know, in the spirit of love. And so I think that that's one of the things that the components that's missing is how to help each other. I'm talking about real simple. How do you help each other? It's send it up line, you know, if you're having a problem. When my brother sitting right next to me very well may have the solution for me. But if I'm not comfortable enough where I feel I'm in an atmosphere where I can share what's going on with me, and he's not willing to listen, then it'll be one of those situations where, you know, where the pain only belongs to me, and so I'm going to deal with it the best way I know how. And, I mean, I saw refuge in the rug, but I had to get up from the rug and then and do some things. You know, so I think that we, as a body of believers in our nation, if we're going to grow, I think that we have to begin to learn how to help each other, because we're quick to help lost out. But how do we help each other?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Hakeem. Okay. We have a question, and I want to take a question from an audience member because I don't want to leave them holding too long. DJ Black Caesar, can you make the line live for area code 314, please? Excuse me.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, my dear brother Kareem Muhammad out of St. Louis. Yes, sir. You have a question or a comment?
Well, actually, a combination question and comment. You know, as always, in the name of Allah, who came in the person of the Master Farah Muhammad, I'm glad to be a part of this, and I've already, as the brother was just saying, I've already gotten some things that have made me even go back and look at myself again and again, because that is one of the things that we have to do as believers, period, is whenever a situation comes up that is considered negative or one that has dissatisfaction in it, the first thing we have to do is look at self and see what self has done. And I want to say, you know, as a survivor of this devastating, I call it a disease known as divorce, myself, you know, more so the question is, it's really fascinating, but is it possible that we are not, one, applying the teachings as best as we could, and in that sense, I mean, showing proper appreciation for one another. I mean, the scripture, the Bible gives it to us like this. There's a place in the Bible where it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. But it also says, immediately following that, husbands, submit yourselves to your wives. And what I'm looking at, and I know from my own personal experience, in what I would say, what I wouldn't, because I wouldn't even say, you know, marriage, because number one, to me, my opinion, it's just my opinion, that it can't truly be called a marriage unless it succeeds. Before that, it's an attempt, because true marriage is reminiscent of, or as an example of, the combining of the human being with Allah himself. That's my understanding of what true marriage is. It's a reflection of that. And so if it doesn't succeed, then it was an attempt at marriage, but it wasn't a marriage. I mean, and I, like I said, this is just from my own experience. So, like I said, pretty much my question is, again, like I said, could it be that we are not showing the proper appreciation for one another? You know, in other words, going into, because if I go into it with the attitude of, well, if it don't work, I can get divorced anyway, that's my out, then I already shot myself in the foot. You know, so
yes,
that, that's, like I said, and that's what I just want to know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm getting a lot of good information already. I just want to know that thought crossed my mind. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, so Brother Walter, you want to answer Brother Kareem's question? Are we showing proper appreciation?
I would love to answer that question. Absolutely not. I value the brother's input and the question as well. That was a beautifully put, you know, statement as well as a question. And I would venture to say, in my humble opinion, that we are not truly appreciating each other because we don't truly appreciate the value of ourselves first and the God who created us first. So when we don't appreciate Allah, God, first, we can't truly appreciate ourselves. And we become a part of a part of a part trying to become a whole. So as we become these parts trying to become a whole, in the process, it's a lot of mistakes and a lot of arrogance and a lot of things that we encounter in our relationships that sometimes we don't properly learn how to, as we were talking about earlier, communicate. The panel, Sister Cinquetta as well as Sister Patricia, talked about communication and the ability to effectively communicate. I mean, many of us have these social inconsistencies where we don't always have those skills. So to assume that just because I'm talking to you or you're talking to me that we're communicating, that's not really a communication. That's just a dialogue. But a communication consists of so many other things. So when we talk about how we're treating each other, no, we don't treat ourselves and the God that created us right first. So it's easy to mistreat my wife. It's easy to mistreat my children when I don't understand the value in them. And that's why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had to give us the proper handling of people in the study guides, because we had to learn how to handle people. So many times it's easy for us to mishandle each other by just the way we converse with one another, the things we say. That's why it's important in a marriage, in my opinion, that if you're angry, it's not a form of shutting down, but if you can't say anything effectively or something, you know, to the point of, you know, upliftment or in a time of, you know, tension, then don't say anything at all, because it becomes into mishandling one another. We say, you know, mean and crude things. I hate you. I wish I never met you. And then we have to come back and apologize. You know, and it seems like a small thing at the time. And, you know, the easy thing to say is, oh, you know, I was just upset at the time. Well, the messenger told us to think 5 times before we speak. And there was a reason for that. So it's all about properly handling each other. And that's a beautiful thing to think about. So I just like to, you know, share that with us, and hopefully someone else can add some insight into that.
Okay, and what about your better half?
Yes, I would like to, I totally agree with everything that Brother Walter has just said. You know, I think I mentioned it a little bit before about keeping Allah, you know, as your center. And he mentioned it too, you know, if we're not properly seeing the God for who he is, then we definitely can't see each other for who, you know, we are. And sometimes in that, you know, I might have an inflated ego. So, since I expect you to be, to go above and beyond, when that's not even necessary, you know. So, we have to really, you know, take the opportunity to look at ourselves and just try to respect our mates the best that we possibly can. And so far as communicating with them, that's one of the ways that we can do that. You know, you take the time and speak with your husband, your wife, and truly ask them, you know, how are you? What's going on with you? How do you feel? Sometimes you could get the appreciation or the attention or whatever that's needed from your mate if we just, you know, properly communicate and ask the right questions.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, and Sister Patricia?
Yes, ma'am.
Are we really appreciating one another?
Well, you know, after I got divorced, well, I did a lot of thinking before I got divorced and after. I separated twice before I divorced. And after the divorce, I came to the realization that I wasn't always grateful for what I had. And that's not being appreciative. So, no, we're not always grateful or appreciative to what we have.
Okay. And Brother Hakeem.
I'm in total agreement with what the panelists have said. You know, we are not always grateful. You know, we take a lot of times our mates and loved ones for granted. And I've come to realize after these years of being married that the longer I stay married, the more I know that I don't know about it. The more I learn, I don't know about marriage. And we take these things for granted. For example, I get up, I go to school. I pretty much have the same routine every morning. Everybody in the house can pretty much tell you what I'm going to do, what mood I'm in, or at least what mood it appears that I'm in. But there have been times where I was very disturbed, but because of the routine that I do every day, I'm still doing what I do. And it took my wife to ask me, like the sister just said, are you all right? And I was able to stop because I didn't even know that I wasn't all right, in a sense. And she said, you seem frustrated. My daughter, my oldest daughter, just did it earlier today. And I was doing what I normally do. So I'm saying that to say that, you know, we have a tendency to take things for granted because my wife is not complaining or she ain't saying nothing about this. She's saying, why don't we have a vehicle? She's not complaining. Everything must be okay. You know? And so, yes, we take things for granted. Surely man is ungrateful, you know? I mean, Allah said that, so I know it's applicable to me. And so I have to
sometimes I have to write a gratitude list, you know. Sometimes I have to just settle down and try to be grateful for the small things.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Okay, DJ Black Caesar, we have a couple of questions on the line, and I think area code 216 has been holding the longest. So can we open up the line for 216? Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. Can you identify yourself, sister?
Yes, ma'am. I'm Sister Felicia X from Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes,
and,
ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Hi, Sister Gibson. Wa alaikum salam. And to the rest of the panel, I have not been married at all. I'm 39 years old, but I'm getting preventative measures right now, and I thank Allah for you guys. But what I really want to know is that if we given or expecting unrealistic expectations of one another.
Yes, ma'am.
In the fact of I'm here to be served, because when you get married, it's all in service of the other person. But we want to be served. We're still in that mindset, like, you know, spoiledness, if I might say, or, you know, I'm here now, so serve me. But we're supposed to have that servitude attitude in marriage. My grandmother and grandfather have been married for 63 years, and I see the servitude in each of them. And that's, you know, the basis of God, but being a servitude, you know, the humility that they have for one another. No one is willing to humble themselves. You know, that's what, you know, I was observing in a whole lot of divorces. So it's no servitude, no humility towards one another. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, sister, for your comment. Okay, so unrealistic expectations. I think we did touch on that, you know, when we become dissatisfied. And, you know, I just want to add, you know, we really have to focus on being real with one another and setting realistic expectations. And I always tell my couples, don't set a standard for somebody else that you yourself cannot reach. So we're going to take another question. So, brother, DJ Black Caesar, can you open up the line for area code 832?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. This is my little brother, Hakeem Rashid Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah.
I'm so surprised. Yes, sir. You got a question or a comment?
Well, I guess it's a comment, but it also, I guess it will turn into a question. Being a newlywed myself, first let me get a greetings to the panelists. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa alaikum
salam, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Being a newlywed myself, I found that going into a marriage, we should all be working on our second marriage. And what I mean by saying that is, what I've learned through trial and error, that before I could marry my wife, I had to first take time and marry myself.
Right.
And fall in love with me. Learn my mood swings and my likes and my dislikes so that I could better communicate that with this person that I'm allowing to come in my life, as well as she's allowing me to go in her life. You know, today's reality has made marriage almost like a New Year's resolution. It's good, but as soon as it starts hurting, you know, we said we're going to lose weight at the first of the year, but as soon as that pain kick in, working out to lose that weight, we quit. We don't go to the gym no more. So it is with marriage. You know, when you go into a marriage, for some strange reason or another, someone has made it appear that it's not going to be those hard days. Every day y'all going to like each other. No, sir. Every day you don't like your wife. And I know your wife don't like you every day. I mean, praise be to Allah. But that's the beautiful part about it, because I've learned that when me and my wife go through things, when we go to that prayer room, man, I fall back in love with her all over again. And I fall just a little bit more in love with her. I tell you, whoever made up the statement that if you are a family that prays together, stays together, you, and when you get married, there has to be so much prayer, so much prayer, because you're faced with so much in this world that we're living in. And the biggest thing, and I guess my question is for the brothers on the panel, how much do you believe that man emotion get into the relationship and create more chaos than anything?
Okay,
come on, Brother Walter. We're going to put you out there first.
I don't mind. Praise be to Allah. That's a wonderful question, and you know, I don't claim to be a scholar, but I'll try to do the best I can. Definitely, within the man becomes a lot of restraint, or has to come a lot of restraint, because as men, we carry the weight, those of us who have been taught properly to take on the role as a man, we carry a lot of the weight of maintaining the family, and not so much always in a financial aspect of it, but we're talking about the security of the family, the well-being of the family, the protection of the family mentally and spiritually. So there comes a lot of weight that comes with that, and with weight comes pressure. Mm-hmm. And pressure comes sometimes emotion, because depending on how much pressure, how spiritually charged and that you are in this work of carrying the weight of that family, can lead to a lot of emotions. So emotions definitely have to be checked. And as we're taught, we all have emotions, but we shouldn't lead with emotions. We should pretty much lead with logic and try to rise above emotions into the thinking of Allah, God. So in that, you do have to find yourself a lot of times trying to check your emotions. Is it easy? No. My wife could attest, she's on the phone right now, and she would tell you that there's times where, you know, I've let my emotions lead, but had to find a way to check it that we could stay on course and not, you know, permanently damage what we have. So that comes with the balance of trying to center yourself with Allah and try to, you know, keep a comfortable environment in the house, and when you do that, that leads to that communication. So to answer brother's question, yes, the emotions definitely have to be checked, and the ego's sometimes left at the door. We have to know when to stand and put our foot down as men in the situation, and when to take some, you know, some level of compromise in the situation, because we have to be patient. So to answer brother's question as best as I can, yeah, you have to check those emotions.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, brother.
Okay. Brother Hakeem, you want to answer his question? He said to the brother, so.
Yes, ma'am. That and I thank the brother for that question and that point. I did not know how emotional I was until I got married. Mind you now, I come from a home where both of my parents were in the nation, but of course, like I said, I don't remember them being together. But my father mainly raised me, and father, very calm, very logical man, you know, never seen him cry. You know, he's just real old school, and he's like that, real cool, right? So I come into this relationship thinking, you know, I'm going to do things like him. But he's not married to my wife. And believe me, I'm not throwing no shots at my wife. Believe me, I thank Allah for my wife, because if it was not for her, when I discovered how emotional I was. See, sometimes we as men, we think that means that we will always be logical. We will always show that, you know, that strength.
at all times.
Mm-hmm.
That's unrealistic. And if the expectation is there that you yourself will always be the strength between the two, then you're setting yourself up for failure. Because it has been my wife many times. Allah, for her having the teachings, and it didn't depend on me. She had to teach. She had her own personal foundation. You feel me? She had her own personal foundation. And when I was emotional, when I was motivated by emotions, it was her and Allah guiding her that got us through these times. It was her and Allah guiding her. So sometimes, you know, it's a balance. I know I'm the man. I don't feel threatened. You know, I know who I am, you know, so I'm not threatened at all. And neither is she. And I just wanted to make one more point about the emotions. The rising above emotions, and this is just my little understanding, it's not that I deny my emotions, it's that I go through them. I process them. I go through them and rise into the thinking of God. So it's not hold your emotions in, don't show any, and don't act like, you know, you're not hurt or you're not sad or you're not happy or, you know, it's not about that. I have to process them. I have to be honest with myself sometimes. When I'm being statistical, because believe me, I still have an ego. It's not as big as it used to be. All praise is due to Allah. But there are some things still ego-motivated within a relationship. And sometimes it might take my wife to say out, or I might catch it myself. And I say, oh, hold up. That's some ego stuff. I can't, you know, cool out on that. And vice versa. So I just think that we're not to deny our emotions. Like the brother said, we just identify, recognize it for what it is. And that's what life is about.
Okay. All right. We're going to have one more question from area code 773, DJ Black Season. Then we're going to bring on our beloved brother Marcus Muhammad out of Georgia. So can you make the line live for area code 773, please?
Uh-oh, that's Chicago.
Assalamu
alaikum. Yes. Wa alaikum salam, Brother Daniel.
How are you, Sister Gidget?
I am blessed by Allah's permission, sir. And you?
Oh, by the grace of Allah, fine. Assalamu alaikum to the panel.
Wa alaikum salam.
You know, I want to make a statement, you know, myself dealing with my divorce, and I was really at peace to get away from my ex because she was the enemy.
Oh, my goodness.
It wasn't because she was trying to pull me away from the next. She wanted me to go to the darn church with her. But I showed how strong, how firm that I wasn't breaking away for her at all to please her to go to some church. And that wasn't going to happen in that order. But when people were saying, how did you feel when you got divorced? I said, look, I felt happy to get away from her. And even when the judge asked her, what did she want from me in alimony? She said, I don't want nothing from me in alimony as long as he went fair. And I'm like myself, Allahu Akbar.
Okay. Okay, Brother Daniel.
You see that coming, did you, Sister Gidget?
No, sir. I wasn't ready for that one. That was a gut check right there, okay? That's probably what my ex-husband say about me. I got two of them out there. You think they feel the same way?
I doubt that, Sister Gidget. I doubt that. But my point is, with me, I had a fool on my hands.
Yes, sir. Okay, so are you saying, Brother Daniel, with your experience, sometimes it is, you know, that the divorce itself can be a blessing. I guess that's what I'm trying to gather from you. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, well, I mean, you know, sometimes we're not evenly yoked, and when you cannot live peaceably and you cannot communicate civilly and effectively, then,
right.
Yes, and particularly it is probably a
then
good thing if you can't ever resolve.
The bad thing about it, also I had outside interference.
Now, that's another thing. That's another thing that kills marriages. Yes, sir.
And,
yes,
you know,
sir.
That's, you
okay.
Know, this is like I always say. If you ain't got your house in order, you need not to try to keep somebody else's house in order.
You better teach. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Well, Brother Daniel, you know, by Allah's permission, I pray that you will find your queen and that she won't, you know, be a repeat of what has happened in your past, brother, because you are so worthy. So may Allah bless you on that journey.
Yes, ma'am.
And thank you for calling in, Brother Daniel. Thank you for
You're
your
welcome.
Constant support.
You're welcome, ma'am. Alaikum,
all right. Walaikum salam, sir. Okay, family, we got about 45 minutes, and I want to bring in Brother Marcus Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Marcus.
Walaikum salam, my dear sister. Assalamu alaikum to you and all of the panel. I'm enjoying your show tremendously.
Yes, sir. Well, we are so honored to have you here because I know Brother Marcus. I know him and myself and Sister Nisa. I think we're about the only marriage counselors that I know. You know, we're not the only experts that dabble in that field. I put it like that. I ain't going to say experts. But Brother Marcus was so gracious to honor us with his presence tonight. But before we talk to Brother Marcus about marriage, I want to talk to you about this marriage retreat, because even though we are talking about divorce and even though we realize that divorce sometimes is inevitable, I want to remind people that if you have the opportunity, please go on this marriage retreat this year. It's in Tennessee. The prices are great, and the location is absolutely beautiful. Been there a couple of times myself. This is something that can probably halt or prevent you even getting into the situation of getting a divorce, because it gives couples time away from the current environment and gives you a place of solitude where you can go and think things out and really bond with one another and remind yourself and one another of why we got married in the first place. Go back to that initial love that took you to that altar. But I'm going to let Brother Marcus tell us more about this marriage retreat first, and then we're going to talk about some signs and symptoms of divorce, Brother Marcus. So if you would, sir, proceed.
Well, again, thank you, sister, for the opportunity to be on this wonderful radio network. I'm just very honored and very thankful to have any opportunity to address the believers and your guests and those who have tuned in tonight. We are, by Allah's grace, we finalized the plans for the fourth annual marriage retreat. And this year it will be, inshallah, in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. The marriage retreat is for brothers and sisters, couples only, who really want to work on the marriage and prevent divorce. It is for those brothers and sisters who realize that they need a little bit more skills in order to understand their spouse. And as I listen tonight, a lot of divorces can be prevented if we would just get some more skills. That seems to be a huge problem among our families. And it's not enough to just say, I believe in the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and everything ought to be all right. Well, that's nice that you believe in the teaching, but it is also imperative that you get some more skills. And, you know, if we get some better skills and we look at our role in keeping our spouse unhappy, if we look at and have our spouse evaluate us honestly without fear of intimidation, without fear of us going off and losing our cool and ego tripping, then we perhaps could save our marriages before they end up in another divorce court. And we have such problems because we just don't take time out to work on our marriage. And that's a serious relationship with Allah. It's half your faith. If you won't work on your marriage, but you'll work on everything else but your marriage, then really you're really saying, I'm saying to God that I'm ungrateful for what you blessed me with. Here I am standing before the God saying, thank you for my wife, thank you for my husband, you know, but I don't even want to work on the marriage. And that's what this marriage retreat is all about. It's www.blackmarriageretreat.org. Again, that's www.blackmarriageretreat.org. And it has all the information for you. You can go to the marriage retreat per couple. It's just $520 per couple, not per person, per couple. And you can stay in the beautiful mountains of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. I mean, when was the last time you and your wife were in your own private love nest? When was the last time that you looked deeply in her eyes and you kissed her and you loved her the way you rubbed her the right way? I'm talking about when was the last time that you and your wife, without little cheering walking around and interrupting you, away from the job, away from responsibilities. Your only responsibility at the marriage retreat, you ain't got to hold no post, is to sit there and try to make things right with your wife. And I tell you that it will be a beautiful experience for all who endeavor to come. And a lot of people in the past have said, well, I'm too scared to get on the water because we did the last two retreats on the water, and we had a magnificent and beautiful time. But this time it's on land, and all you got to do is make your way to that website, www.blackmarriageretreat.org, and you can find out all the details and work on your marriage. Because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our beloved minister, our representative of the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam, listen to his words. He said the number one threat to the Nation of Islam, to the national security of the Nation of Islam, is divorce. And you think over those words, because he said those recently on a webcast. The number one threat to the national security of the Nation of Islam is divorce. So all of us as couples, we don't want to betray the work of the minister by not self-improving and trying to make ourselves better so that our marriage can be better. Remember, if self-improvement is the basis of community development, well, what about your family? Isn't your family a community? If you improve as a husband, the marriage will improve. If you improve as a wife, the marriage will improve. I see too many husbands, too many men trying to work on improving their wives, telling her if she would only get better. I see too many sisters, they're trying to improve the husband. If only he would be a better man. If only he would do this or that. But self-improvement is the basis of community development, of your family. And so that's why we're calling you to the marriage retreat, to retreat from this world and its sinful influence on every one of our marriages. So, Sister Gidget, that's why we're calling people to the marriage retreat this year. It's September 12th through September 16th. You're getting in on a Thursday. You'll be with us Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're going to eat like kings and queens. The 520 includes room and board for four straight days and nights in your own private love nest. And you get to, I have to keep saying that because it's been a long time. You remember that song? It's been a long time. You know, well, we need to learn.
You almost make me want to get married, Brother Marcus.
Well, I'm just trying to say, you know, Sister Gidget, you know, it's been a long time since some of us been rubbed the right way. Some of us don't have no intimacy in our marriage because, as the great Patti LaBelle sang that song, she said all the wrong things to be said. We said them. She said, we let anger guide the way. We're speaking harsh, angry, vengeful words at each other and didn't want to get into a bedroom and try to get lovey-dovey. But we've been arguing and fighting all day long, didn't send a kind word, didn't say nothing nice to our wife or our husband all day long. But at nighttime, we want to turn off the lights and light a candle. What's wrong with that?
Oh, my God,
Brother Pete.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, but Brother Marcus, now, you got everybody that probably got a divorce probably going back and trying to do a reversal. But listen, but when divorce is inevitable, because, you know, even though we're talking about divorce, I always want to be found encouraging marriage, because we have people on the panel that have been divorced, that are remarried,
right,
that are divorced and probably seeking marriage again. But we have couples who may be headed for divorce. And
right,
we always want to be found encouraging them. And, you know, when I pulled the statistics, and I know you wasn't on the show, but when I pulled the latest statistics, Brother Marcus, it said that 70% of all black marriages fail in the first marriage. And 47% of black women are, you know, their marriage ends in divorce. And, you know, and when I looked at what they gathered as the main factor, they said that poverty and strain in the black community was the reason, was the highest reason, and I think infidelity was second. So when we talk about poverty and strain, because we know what the economy is like now, you know, we have to keep it real. And the sister called in from Ohio, and I wish she would have waited a little later to ask her question, but I thank a lot for her question. When she talked about unrealistic expectations, and is it found that, you know, and I'm just going to put it out there on the sister, so any sister get mad at me because I'm putting it out here. A lot of us sisters, sometimes in that poverty and strain or in that financial struggle, you know, we look for the man to forge the way, which that's what he's supposed to do. However, we know that the economy is not always as such. And so I want to know what you feel about how that situation should be dealt with, Brother Marcus.
Okay, very good question, and it's very simplistic. You know, we have to learn how to live within our means.
Mm-hmm.
And brothers have to understand that this is a divine process that Almighty God Allah has set up to bring the man out of you. I know this personally and intimately, because for 20 years of my marriage to my wife, she has laid every single one of the bills for the entire marriage on my desk. And she said, here you go, maintainer. And, you know, did not ask me, you know, well, can I help you to pay it or anything like that. And it wasn't because she was being cold. It was because she understood that that's what a man does. Men take care of bills and financial responsibilities. And many brothers don't accept that. But when you got a woman, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan says, when you got a woman that's working and helping you to take care of your bills and your responsibilities, well, you should look for half the respect that you will actually do as a man. When she's there working just as hard as you are working, and probably more so harder than you are working, then how the hell do we expect her to come home and be servile or serving us like she ain't worked all day long? Now, that's crazy. So
So we as brothers got to learn that if we want her to respect us fully, we have to be willing to do whatever it takes in order to be the means of support for our wives. And our wives should be intelligent enough as they are to look at what we're bringing in, and then if they see that it's not enough for what they want, then they should be willing to say, well, I'm going to take this part of this responsibility. If the brother is not asking them, then that's another thing. If he's not asking them to take anything, if he's not asking them to work, then that's one thing. But if he's asking them to work, then he has to be willing to take whatever comes with that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just want you to know, Sister Gidget, that poverty is something that we should be very used to. But it's how you manage poverty. You know, the real poverty, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan said, is not the poverty of the pocket. He said the real poverty is the poverty of the spirit. See, and if we are walking around thinking and acting like we are poor, then we are going to indeed be poor. But if we could look at what we actually are dealing with and facing and be together, that's what we have to teach couples about, togetherness. That it's not a separate thing. It's not the man having to face all of this by himself. My wife has been right there by my side, and with everything that I came up with to take care of the bills and the responsibilities, she's been right there lockstep with me. Okay, we doing this, we doing that, we doing the other thing, we doing this, we doing that, we doing the other thing, because a woman got to help you, and that's her job. Her duty is to be our helpmeet. And many of us as brothers, sometimes we don't know how to call on the goddess in that woman to ask her to solicit her help. I have called on the goddess in my wife completely because I've needed her to help me to be the man that I'm supposed to be. And that's why we as brothers got to understand we got to appeal to our wives, not order them around. Your wife is not your private soldier. She's a thinking goddess. And we have to learn how to treat her like a goddess. And she will help us if we know how to ask for the help, if we know how to solicit the help. She'll ask. She'll help us. I'm a witness to it.
Yes, sir. Okay. And does anybody have a question or a comment for Brother Marcus?
Well, I just wanted to say, first of all, I appreciate your presence, Brother Marcus. This is Brother Hakeem.
Oh, praises due to Allah. Brother Hakeem, how are you, brother?
I'm fine, brother. I'm fine. And the wife is fine as well.
Praise due to Allah.
Your input is, man, it's so valuable. But I have a comment and then I have a question. My comment was you made some very excellent points about the spouse, the wife being the helpmeet. And how we as men have to learn that it's okay to ask for help. Or like the old saying goes, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. So how you ask for that help, I thought that was very, very significant. But a question that I have is that Sister Gidget mentioned preventing divorce. And I know a lot of times it starts off real small, like the snowball effect. And so my question is, could you speak into the name calling?
Yeah.
When spouses call, I've been a firm believer in this, and I don't do it. Okay, I refuse to do it. I never heard my father do it, and I just don't do it. I don't get into name calling. But I've seen it so much. Could you speak into that?
Yes, sir. Brother, thank you for that question. As I said earlier, all the wrong things to be said, we have said them. You know, they have a saying out here that familiarity, it breeds oftentimes contempt. Wives study men, and we have to just accept that. They are the second self of God. I have woken up sometimes in the middle of the night, and my wife was looking dead at me. And, I mean, like she hadn't slept all night. I'm looking at her with one eye open. What the hell are you looking at? She was studying me, you know, and I was, you know, I was like, what's going on with this? But why women study men? And, you know, I'm saying that the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, he is our guide. We don't have to look outside of our brother for guidance. He already has provided the guidance. He said that a woman is born of God to find a weakness in a man and destroy it. Now, what man can handle that? Brother Sharif shared something with us down in Atlanta one time that he and his wife was having some problems, some issues. And they went before the Honorable Louis Farrakhan. And Brother Sharif was trying to voice an objection to what his wife was saying. And the minister told him, he said to the brother, that your wife is right 99% of the time. I mean, I want you to think about that. Most of us as men are failing as husbands because we refuse to listen to what our wives are trying to tell us. We are so arrogant and so egocentric. Everything is so ego with us 99% of the time. We're too arrogant to hear what our little poor wife is trying to tell us. And if we would listen and just try to follow what she said, she would lead us correctly. She would tell us what is right. Now, I know a lot of brothers, they slamming the phone. They said, oh, hell no, my wife ain't right. But I want you to think about it. Now, I'm not saying it's the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is saying this. I've been witness that my situation could have been a whole lot better, a whole lot smoother if I'd have just listened. But that ego, that girl sing that song, you got a big ego, such a huge ego, and we all puffed up over nothing. We call each other God. What's up, God? What's up, God? But we ain't producing nothing. We have to, it's not that we don't want to say it, but we want to try to represent it and manifest it. And that's what we have to get into in 2013, manifesting what we're supposed to be versus just getting the accolades for being what we are not yet. Now, when you talk about name calling, most of the time with the name calling, we don't realize how powerful words are. When you sit and you think about a person and you can formulate a name for them. You know, most of the time when we speak, they say men don't talk a whole lot, but when we do talk, we say things out of our mouth that can be so destructive, and women do too, because some of the worst weapons that Allah ever gave the black woman was her ferocious tongue. But the reason that her tongue is so powerful, it's not that she's lying on us. The reason that it's so powerful and it penetrates our little armor as a man is because it's the truth. And boys, what man has never been under the lash of a woman's tongue? And she knows you so well that when she strikes at you, you can't defend against what she's saying. So now domestic violence is in the house. Now we're beating the hell out of each other with bow ties and headpieces on all over the country. Domestic violence is high among us because we have not learned as men that our wife is not our enemy. Oftentimes we set her off, and then we, you know, my mama used to have a saying, we do our dirt, and then we hide our hands. You know, we do little stuff to the woman, or not do. We're defaulting duty, and then we expect her to just go along with it, and she cannot do that. She's not made by God to go along with foolishness. She will submit to us as men if we are on our deen. If we are walking after the minister, being a good example, she can't help herself. But this name calling, it starts with just little names. you know. And really, so many of our sisters, as I've listened across the country to different calls, so many of our sisters, they don't think much of the intelligence of the brothers. They don't think that the brothers are intelligent, and sometimes they even suggest that we're stupid. And men don't like ever to be called stupid or to feel dumb or to be put down. And so the intelligent sister always is after any little thing that her husband says that she can hold up for him, her admiration for him. You know, instead of name calling to each other, we should always be thinking how we can build one another up. See, there's a simple rule, Sister Gidget. The rule is 90% praise, 10% criticism. When you praise in marriage, when you learn the art and the skill of complimenting, and when you learn how to say nice things to your spouse, not just to the strange sister out there on the corner, but to your wife, when we learn the art of caressing the ego of the black man and the black woman, we'll be on the path to victory. We should praise on top of the mountain so that everyone can hear when we're praising our spouse. And you know what? We should criticize in the, not basement, but in the sub-basement. We should put so much praise of what the brother is doing, what the sister is doing right, that, and then slip in that little 10%, but then cover it up with more praise. But they'll feel the criticism, but they won't be to the degree that 90% criticism and 10% praise produces. We have to become more skillful in how we talk to each other. It's all in communication. It's all in conversation. So many of us don't even talk to each other all day. I was surprised at the last marriage retreat. So many of us don't even pray together. We pray at the mosque, but we don't pray at the house. The house is where, brother, you should get down. That's your realm where you should rule, but you have to rule. We have to rule with wisdom. We can't rule no house with no iron fist. Truth is the authority of the home. And when the truth is being spoken, whether it's coming out of your mouth as the husband or your wife's mouth, we should just always submit. I submit to the truth of what you just said, sister. All praise is due to Allah. Brother, I submit to that. That's true. We are so busy going tit for tat, tat for tit over every little small, trifling, irrelevant issue in our homes that we can't find peace. There can be no peace in a home where there's continuous and constant name-calling and arguing. Arguing drives the spirit of Allah out of the home, and Satan takes over.
Yes, sir. And okay, and Brother Marcus, I want to touch on some of the signs and symptoms, because you just mentioned one, and that is that consistent argument. And when I talk about consistent arguing, I mean you argue to the point where you never resolve an issue, and it just festers and it goes on. And another one is the exhibit of anger or dissatisfaction, and we have to learn how to read our spouses, because sometimes things go unsaid, unspoken. But sometimes we are so unfamiliar with our spouses that we don't recognize the signs. You know, we don't look at one another. We don't examine body language and determine what it's really saying. And we have to be inquisitive. You know, just like somebody said earlier, we have to ask, how are we doing? You know, you have to ask sometimes and not have that ego and saying, okay, well, I'm putting it down in the bedroom, I'm bringing the money home, you know, I'm keeping my body fit so she has nothing to complain about. But if you don't ask, she might not tell. And so we have to learn how to be inquisitive with one another and say, you know, maybe you don't look right. There's this particular look on your face. Are you frustrated? Are you unhappy? And how many times do we ask in a marriage, are you happy? Or do we just take it for granted? You know, that's some of the things that we don't look at. Also,
the lack of intimacy.
Right.
You know, when you might be chiseled up and sister might have an hourglass figure, but there's something missing there that should bring you together in an intimate way, but it's just not happening. And instead of asking questions, we often say, well, you know, he or she is not doing what they're supposed to be doing in the bedroom, and oftentimes they seek pleasure outside of the marriage instead of dealing with what's going on. And so, Brother Marcus, I'm going to have you speak to that if you would.
Okay, praise be to Allah, sister. You are right on it, and I want to invite your listeners to consider coming this Sunday. We have Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad and his lovely wife, Sister Sharifa Muhammad. They're coming on our programs this weekend on Sunday at 8 p.m., and they're going to talk about what happened to the intimacy in our marriages. So you would be surprised that so many of us as men and women may not even really know what intimacy is and how many different levels there are to intimacy. And you can't have a truly intimate marriage just starting out the first 1 to 5 years. You know what? After 20 years with my wife, I'm just learning how to have intimacy with her.
Yes, sir.
I thought I loved her when I was in the first year, the second year, the fifth year maybe. I thought I had a better understanding at the 10th year. But, Lord, in the 20th year, the what I feel for her now is so much greater than when I started out. And I'm telling you, intimacy is something, it's not something, it's a process that you have to go through, and you cannot attain it just because somebody is there. You got to work on that. And so that's just one of the issues that we can talk about. Here's something, sister, that most of us don't consider in our Muslim marriages or in even Christian marriages. The level of sarcasm in the marriage, the accusations, the criticism, the derogatory comments, and how dangerous they are to the marriage. You know, then we have this other word, contempt, criticism, defensiveness, stonewalling. See, when we don't have much respect for the intelligence that Allah has put in our partner, we're headed for divorce. Who wants to be with somebody who has utter contempt for them, their thinking style, the way they process things? Some of us as men and women have actually told our spouse, you shut up and let me do all the thinking. When I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. You know, and we may not say it directly like that, but is that really the sentiment that you carry when you tell your spouse to just shut up and let me deal with this? You know, and then what about this one, the flooding, where we overwhelm each other with negativity and it causes an emotional shutdown and detachment from our relationships? When we suddenly barrage our partners with so much criticism or contempt, we leave the other feeling shell-shocked. You know, how many of us have just went straight off on our partner and we didn't even consider the damage of what we were doing? And the more articulate you are as a man or a woman, the worse the grilling, the beating is. The verbal abuse is so high in some of our marriages because we can string words together like a letterman. We can put words together and they march out our mouth into the heart, into the lungs, into the chest of our wife or our husband because we made them our opponent. Your husband, your wife is not your enemy. The bills, the world that you live in is the enemy. That's the one we need to attack, this wicked world that we live in. This world that makes us enemies of one another because there's never enough money to meet the month. This world is the problem, but we don't view the world. We're not cussing the world out. We're cussing our spouse out. And we must stop it if our marriages are going to survive in 2013. We as men, we must be workers. We must be productive. We cannot be before our wife unproductive. We are not attractive to them when we're not doing anything. Not for a day, not for a week, but for a month. We laying up playing the Xbox, playing, watching TV, or worshiping Sports Center. We're not being attractive to them. You've got to feed a woman's soul with a vision. She needs to function off of a vision of where, if things are bad now, we've got to present a vision of what things can be if you just believe in me, baby. Hold, you know, like that brother Gerald Levert said, he said, baby, hold on to me. He said, you see, I'm a special kind. We gotta feed each other that kind of soul teaching that make a woman just want to stay with you and be your ride or die chick, if you will. And if you ain't talking with no passion, some of us, we don't have no passion in our voice. There's no passion in our life. We don't have nothing that we can feed a woman's soul with. Do you know why they love the Honorable Louis Farrakhan? Because he reached deep down in their guts, and he brings something up out of them that nobody else can bring. And that's what we got to do as a husband. We got to bring the goddess out of our wife, and she not coming if you ain't bringing it. We so mellow, we so calm, cool, and collected, and sometimes a woman will throw a monkey wrench in that. Our wives didn't marry us for them to become our patient. They didn't marry us for us to analyze them, and I noticed that tendency in so many marriages. The husband thinks he's the doggone doctor. So why? Tell me about your day. What's going on? Why did you arrive to that thought? And all of this kind of mumbo jumbo. And she's sitting there looking at you like, we ain't got no money in the bank. We ain't got this. We ain't got that. And you in here trying to analyze me. Analyze yourself. And women are not going for it today, brothers. Oh, if you would just come to this marriage retreat, you would see women who are not going to just accept things any old kind of way. The minister said women are uprising all over this nation, all over this country, all over this world, and it's coming to your marriage.
Yes, sir.
It's coming. And we cannot prevent it. All we can do is try to make sure that our women get everything they need in order to function, in order to be happy, in order to be able to rear our children decently, honorably, respectfully. And when she love you as a man, you just watch to see if she love you. Look at the way the children feel towards you. That is one of the most perfect barometers of whether she love you or not. Because if she don't love you, she ain't putting none of that into the children.
That's right.
When she love you, them children will greet you at that door, and they will give you the love that you deserve for being the man that you striving to be. And I'm telling you, all of these issues, Sister Muhammad, Sister Gidget, they all contribute. The body languages of our partner. You know, we have to learn all of these things. And then, of course, this thing, bad memories. Some of us have never been audited at all. And since the auditing process came in, we have totally bypassed it. We don't want no part of it because we make excuses as to why we should not be audited. There are not enough auditors. I don't trust nobody. You don't trust yourself. The auditor is like a garbage man. They're not interested in looking at your garbage. Once you put your garbage out on the curb, they just try to flush it. But you don't know the brothers in my city. You don't know the sisters in my city. You cannot continue the way you're going if you don't get audited.
Okay, wait a minute. We get some feedback. So please, let me remind the audience, please, if you have some concerns on, please mute them. If you have background noise, please mute your phone because we get feedback. Okay, because I don't want to mute out your phone, so I want to be able to hear everybody. Okay, Brother Marcus, before you go, because we're at the last 5 minutes, I know you wasn't on at the beginning of the show, But, of course, I want to give Brother Walter W. Muhammad an opportunity to speak because, like, I keep dumping it in his lap. This is his brainchild. So, Brother W., is there anything you want to add or say? And then I got a question for Brother Marcus. So, anything, Brother W.?
Yes, ma'am. I just wanted to thank you and the rest of the panelists and Brother Marcus as well for coming in and dropping so much wisdom on us tonight with, you know, his work. I've been an admirer of your work, Brother Marcus, for a couple of years now since I've been on Facebook, and I definitely appreciate your spirit and what you are doing to aid the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the work of the preservation of marriage and the family, brother. And, you know, I'm definitely going to discuss with my wife about how we can, you know, possibly make your marriage retreat.
We would love to have you.
We could, you know, strengthen our ties as newlyweds and to come to an understanding of one another. And, brother, may Allah bless you to continue your work and everyone else who contributed. And I pray that all of the callers and listeners, thank you for your input as well. And Sister Gidget, we hope that we can come back because it seemed like we had so much unfinished business to do. And I thank my wife especially for being a participant tonight and as a panelist. And I thank her for just being a beautiful sister in the MGC for tolerating, you know, myself and some of the, you know, things that I bring to our marriage. So, may Allah bless us and continue us all. And thank you, Sister Gidget, once again.
You're so welcome. Wait. And let us hear from your beautiful wife, Sister Cinquetta. I'm sorry, Sister Cinquetta. Are you there?
I hope she didn't fall asleep on us, Sister. She might have a tendency to fall asleep.
Okay, well, we got Sister Patricia on the phone, and she wants to come in, and she can't. But, Sister Patricia, you have anything you want to say?
Yes, ma'am, I do. I wanted to ask Brother Marcus, where are the single brothers who think like you?
Good question.
Oh, well, you join us next week, sister, on our webcast, and we're going to address an issue that sisters have been asking me to do for a while, and it's called, Why Won't Our Brothers Make a Commitment?
Yes,
and I mean, that commitment phobia is so real, and it's so real in so many brothers. You know, the fear of being in a committed relationship. And, sister, all I can say is I'm doing everything I can. I have devoted my life this year to helping the Honorable Louis Farrakhan stop divorce in the Nation of Islam. That is the sole mission. That is my mission this year, to help him in whatever way I can. So every Sunday we try to make sure we put people before you who are married, who know what they're talking about, because this is something that your life is really serious, and we want to make sure that we show you the respect as a listener that you deserve, and by making sure that we have quality shows that we put together, and that's what we're striving to do. You know, but now, as far as where them single brothers at, they out there. I was made by the FOI class, and I was made into a man, and we preach marriage and family from day one. When I accepted Islam, that was the mantra. That was the talk all at every mosque and every study group. And if you wasn't married, we looked at that as something strange and unnatural. Brother,
yes,
how long have you been single? 3 months. Brother, what you waiting for? All the brothers
yes,
was asking
yes,
you, what you waiting for? And I was like, Dad, I guess I got to get married. You know, and then the brother said something that was so innocent and so sweet. He said, it was Thanksgiving time. I was a little young college student. And he said, well, what you doing for the holidays, Brother Marcus? I said, I guess I'll be at my dorm, you know, for the holidays. I ain't got nowhere to go. I can't make it back up to New York City. He said, well, you'll get tired of them turkey franks and beans after a while. In other words, I'm going home to a delicious meal my wife is preparing for me. I'm going to eat like a king. And when you get tired of eating them hot turkey franks, you'll understand. I don't know why the hell a man don't want to go home to heaven. My teacher, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam, said the only heaven for a black man is the black woman.
Yes, sir.
And I want
yes,
to go to heaven every chance I get.
Okay, okay. And Brother Hakeem, you have a comment from Brother Marcus. Brother Marcus is on fire tonight. I need a fire thing with you.
Yes, he is. And look, I know it wasn't personal, Brother Marcus, but you hit some spots. Talking about while you was talking, I ran into the bedroom and kissed my wife on the cheek. And ran back out of there holding my head, you know. I want to thank you. I've been admiring your work for a long time. This community forum. So I'm always paying attention to what you're doing. I've shown my wife the marriage retreat, so we're discussing it. We want to take a look at it because we really, really, really want to make it this year.
It's
going to
be wonderful.
For allowing me to be on the panel. It looks like Brother W said, we got some unfinished business, so I would hope that you would have me back. If not, I'll be on the call anyway and make no difference. I'm loving it. But Marcus, please continue. I need you.
Okay, well, listen, we are almost out of time. So let me remind the audience that this is part one of part three. So we have done before the divorce, and next week we'll be back with during the divorce. So we're going to talk about those things that happened, you know, while we in transition, coming out of the house, how we dealing with the children, how we deal with financial matters, how do we keep a civil relationship when we have ultimately decided that the divorce is going to happen. So we're going to come back with that. Inshallah, if Brother Marcus has it in his schedule. See, I already asked him, but I think if my dear distinguished panel would ask Brother Marcus to come back, he might come back for y'all. He might get tired of me asking him. So I'm going to ask one of y'all to ask Brother Marcus to come back.
Oh, you don't have to do that, sister. I'm at your service. I'm at the brothers and sisters' service. We love
yes,
you
sir.
All.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Oh. I'm sorry. Did somebody try to say something? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm hearing a lot of noise. Did somebody try to say something? Okay. All right. That's our show for tonight. Please join us next Thursday, 8 p.m. Central Time. We're going to be right here. We're going to be right back with our panelists. Join us on tomorrow for study group. Put on the new man. Hosted by Brother James. Join us for Saturday, Young, Gifted, and Black. And on Sunday, Brother Marcus. We're going to be joining you. So all of my Nation Building audience, we're going to actually link in to Brother Marcus's presentation with Minister Abdul Sharif Muhammad out of Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to link in with that show. We're also partnering with Clean Glass Production with, I can't think of the sister's name. She's going to kill me. Sister Sharif Muhammad, I believe. We're going to link in, and we're going to all become one unit. We're doing
right.
A unified effort because this year, 2013, the time and what must be done.
Come on now. Come on.
A lot of time. So we are going to do everything. We're going to work expeditiously to keep our families together and to get us married. Even Sister Gidget might even consider getting married this year. I might. So Brother Marcus, one more time, tell us before we get off the air how we can tune into the show on Sunday. and also about the marriage retreat.
Okay, praise be to Allah. Again, thank you all for the opportunity to be on this wonderful network. We really appreciate the chance to come. For those who desire to, in the Nation Building family, you can stay right here on your own network. You will be plugged in. I mean, if you just come back to this website, it will, Sunday at 8 o'clock, you'll hear the whole piece in its entirety, and Sister Gidget and those who she recommends will be also have an opportunity to ask questions of Brother Sharif and Sister Sharifa, as well as you can go to my Facebook page. If you're not Facebook friends with me, Brother Marcus Peace is my Facebook name, and just add me as a friend, because Facebook hates me because I'm too conscious for them, and they keep blocking me and stopping me from adding friends because they don't want me to be successful. But praise be to Allah, the devil is a lie in 2013. For those who are interested and want to take a look at this marriage retreat, which we encourage, we're not making no money off of it. I don't want nobody to think that we're making a profit off of this. We haven't made a dime off of the marriage retreat. We put everything into it so that we can help you and your wife stop divorce. And if you want to check out our website, it's very simply www.blackmarriageretreat.org. I'm going to say it again, www.blackmarriageretreat.org. Or if you and your wife are in crisis right now and you can't wait till September and you need a little help, then call this number. This is how we set our appointments for counseling. We counsel believers all over the country who have various problems. We strive to help in a very friendly, loving atmosphere. Call 404-542-3929. That's 404-542-3929 tomorrow, and you can get on our schedule so that we can get some help to you and your spouse. Because we don't have to be divorced if we don't want to in 2013. There is answers. There is, you got to fight for your marriage, and we can teach you how to fight in a way that it don't look like fighting at all. May Allah bless you, Sister Gidget, and all of you for allowing me into your time and your space. May Allah keep you and your families in 2013. Let us unite as a brick wall against this no good, damnable beast called the white man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, family. Thank you, panel. Thank you, Sister Patricia, Brother Walter, Sister Sinquetta, Brother Hakeem, my engineer, DJ Black Caesar, and thank you, my listening audience, all of you that are on the phone and all of you who logged into the chat room tonight who are listening online. A special thank you to my cousin. She's all the way in Cameroon. I love you, darling. Thank you for listening. She just sent me a text message saying she was listening. So thank you all so much. Join us tomorrow, and we're on 6 days a week. But please join us on Sunday with Brother Marcus and Sister Sharif as we hear from our beloved minister, Abdul Sharif Muhammad. Let's keep our marriages together. And then for those of us who are not married, let's get married. And Brother Marcus, I have a special message for you from Sister Sherelle Muhammad. My dear sister out of mouth number 45, representing the Southwest region, she says, tell Brother Marcus that Sister Sherelle said she is headed to New York City tomorrow. It does appear to be a mantra in New York to the FOI to get married. So, Sister Patricia, if you're looking for a husband, you better call Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad and tell him hook you up with one of them brothers out of number 7.
Sorry. Don't you bypass Atlanta, because we got plenty of brothers here who are anxious to get married. I got a brother right now if you want to get married tonight.
We're from Atlanta, so you need to tell Atlanta to tune in to us, because we got a lot of single sisters that want to get married. But we are off the air. We're in recording mode. Good night, family. Thank you. I love you all. I appreciate you. One nation, one love. Assalamu alaikum.
Love.
Well, they go slow.